Christmas is a time for stories, for family and family stories, because we begin again at this time to make the saving connection between our one story and the eternal story of Jesus Christ, our Christmas presents. When we were little, Jan and I lived out in the West, together under the big sky, though we were not to hold hands for another 15 Christmas Eves, nor to become engaged for another 20, nor for another 25, to construct a child's play kitchen at 2 a.m., opening the box marked "Some Assembly Require." She was a toddler while her dad read Paul Tillich for a PhD dissertation in Denver at the Iliff School of Theology. He commuted from school to church on the train, reading a book with each eye as you do in graduate school. He went there after a degree in electrical engineering on the strength of a Life magazine article titled, "They're Training a New Kind of Preacher in Denver." At the same time, I was a toddler in the desert sands of Las Vegas, while my dad was a chaplain at the Nellis Air Force Base. He went there after undergraduate pre-medical study and divinity school in Boston. They were leaders. One, the captain of the football team, the other, president of the senior class. It came of age when leaders who wanted to make a difference headed into the ministry. All this was 65 years ago. The Cold War, Joe McCarthy, Elvis, the Mickey Mouse Club, Patti Page and the Hula Hoop, and Tillich. Paul Tillich is perhaps the last and only name of a modern theologian that many in our nation could recognize, maybe 5%. His was the last great theological attempt in simple language to connect the story of life with the story of Christ, and to do so in a way that would work, as Luke says, for all the people. I chuckled last week when I read again his foreword, Tillich's, to the 1957 volume. Quote, "I hope to receive much valuable criticism of the substance of my thought, as I did with the first volume, but I cannot accept criticism as valuable, which merely insinuates that I have surrendered the substance of the Christian message because I have used a terminology which consciously deviates from the biblical or ecclesiastical language. Without such deviation, I would not have deemed it worthwhile to develop a theological system for our period." As Jan, at age 3 and 4, fingered the bulbs and lights of a tree in the parsonage of Onega, Kansas, her dad read Tillich on the train home from Denver. He read, I know he must have, how Tillich translated the old words about faith to words more current and true. And they are still true, and hearing them this morning can mean lasting health. Hearing them this morning can mean salvation, real salvation. Said he, we receive the Christmas presents in three modes: by participation, by acceptance, by transformation. First, the story of Christ grasps and embraces your story by causing you to participate in his. This is the whole substance of Christmas, the reason for the season, and the reason you are here today, the reason you are here this morning. It is the reason the choir frets over carols, the ushers urge you to be careful and quiet, the preacher offers a sermon, and in the beauty, the silence, the majesty of this nave, you participate. Christ has surrounded your hurt and desire with his healing and love. Christ has surrounded your hurt and desire with his healing and love. Second, the story of Christ grasps and embraces your story. Somewhere along the tough road of life, by whispering to you, you are accepted. If only you will accept the fact that deep in the heart of the universe, call it the ground of all being if you must, there is a happy acceptance of just who you are, the real you, the authentic you, your one story. God loves you. God accepts you. You have done things you regret. Welcome to the human race. God accepts all that. You are not perfect. Welcome to the human race. God accepts that too. You are prone to error and certain to die. Welcome to the human race. God accepts your error and mortality because God accepts you. And someday, perhaps today, you are going to feel, believe, trust, know, understand, and accept your acceptance by God. May it be this Christmas. You are in the region first trodden by shepherds and lowly folk near Bethlehem of Judea, there when the news broke, God accepts, God loves. Today we might say, you are connected. You are connected, so connect with your connection. Third, the story of Christ grasps and embraces your story over time by transforming your life from one of self-centered striving to one of centered selfhood that frees others and loves others and gives to others. You will be surprised how steadily this transformation develops, which has occurred in potential by virtue of your simple participation in worship today, and whose power is felt in your own acceptance and your accepting your acceptance. And may that be this morning as well. There is something new loose in the universe, a Christmas presence who saves us by causing us to participate, by freeing us to accept, by changing us into loving people. And maybe after he assembled the tricycle at Christmas in the 50s, Jan's dad made a sermon note, joy of participation, joy of acceptance, joy of transformation, peace, goodwill to all. That same Christmas, a few hundred miles to the southwest, the midnight communion service on the Air Force Base in Las Vegas was ending. And after the last candles were doused, a humbler, perhaps truer, quiet ritual of Christmas presents began. It was the determined habit of the provost marshal, the head person on that base, to spend Christmas Eve and the wee hours of Christmas morning visiting those lonely airmen who walked the perimeter guard around Nellis Air Force Base. This particular night was a crisp, starlit Christmas Eve, but very cold out in the desert. Robert Redford's Desert Bloom beautifully depicts the location. The provost marshal asked the chaplain to go along, and they took with them in the VW van canisters of coffee and cocoa and cookies baked by the major's wife. And through the night, they drove all around that base, a site then for nuclear testing during those early Cold War years. They visited 18 posts. At each, the routine was the same. The major offered refreshments to the men, only men then, and then shouldered the man's weapon and walked off into the desert to take the man's turn at walking the half mile along the perimeter. The provost marshal walked each man's post while the chaplain talked to the airmen. You know, the old English root of the word believe is to be near to. The root of the word believe is to be near to. I had heard this story many times growing up, but I had forgotten it until one summer long ago when my dad and I were talking about the North Star, a sign of promise and our experience with the night and with the night sky. That night on the Air Force Base was a beautiful night. The stars beckoned from horizon to horizon, and cold. You forget how cold it gets out in the desert after the sun goes down. Finally, the base marshal and my dad, the chaplain, came to the flight line. Well past midnight, they drove on by acres of airplanes worth millions of dollars, jets, prop planes, all. Along the fence, guarding those millions of dollars worth of government machinery, there stood a 19-year-old airman second class. The major repeated the procedure, offering refreshment, shouldering the weapon, walking off into the cold desert, leaving the chaplain alone with the young man. It did not take long for the chaplain to discover that this particular 19-year-old was not going to be easy to talk to. The chaplain tried everything, a joke, a question, a comment, a verse of scripture, everything he could think of to draw him out, but nothing worked. Probably the chaplain in the first lieutenant's uniform and being a little older was intimidating to the boy. So they just stood there in the silence, in the cold, in the silent, still cold. The chaplain shivered, the airman second class drank his cocoa, and there was black, dark quiet. They gazed at that remarkable sky and shivered and sipped. Until at last, the boy began to talk. First, a little information, then a little bit more about his family, then some of his dreams for the future, then a word about his mom and his dad and his younger brother and his baby sister, all so far away. And there was a moment of communion, of I and thou, a hand on the shoulder, a word of prayer, a moment of participation and a little acceptance and the beginnings of transformation out in the desert. What a blessing, that lovely starry sky, the warm beverage, the two cookies, the two older men, and the airmen second class. Now, 65 years later, I know that what Jan's dad read in Denver, that what he read in Denver is the gospel truth. I have seen it with my own eyes. The Christmas presence changes people, beginning with participation, continuing into acceptance, and completing us by transforming us. Now, 65 years later, I know the meaning of that Nevada story, and I know its truth. The Christmas presence heals us, beginning with participation, continuing into acceptance, and completing us in transformation. I just have to ask you here this happy morning, this Christmas Sunday morning, can you accept your acceptance? Can you connect with your connection? Mild he lays his glory by, born that we no more may die, born to raise us from the earth, born to give us second birth. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King.